Hey, this is Bobby Rio bringing you another interview from GreatSeducer.com. I've got a special guest today and we'll be discussing an interesting topic, and it is the secret of same-night lays. We'll be talking to Nick Quick. Some of the things we'll be discussing are 5 logistical questions to screen for candidates for same-night lays, the biggest reasons preventing men from getting them, the 1 question to see how available a girl is later on in the night, how to create sexual tension, an opener that immediately starts the conversation with a sexual frame, and some of the subtle things guys do to self-sabotage themselves. We'll also be talking about some mindsets to take on. But before we get started with the interview, I just want to remind you that for a limited time, I'm offering an ebook filled with over 175 pickup artist openers and an exclusive podcast on using the openers. And I'm giving this away completely free. You can grab your copy at www.freepuaopeners.com. That is freepuaopeners.com. Now let's jump right into this interview. Hello, guys. This is Bobby Rio here. I got Nick Quick from Same Night Seductions. Nick is relatively new to the scene, but he's got a lot of people talking. And with the release of his new product and boot camp, Same Night Seduction, I thought it was the perfect time to talk to him. Also, you're going to want to listen all the way to the end because I've created a special link where I'm offering a ton of bonuses for guys interested in trying out his Same Night Seduction program. How's it going, Nick?
It is a fantastic day. I'm excited to be on the show. I'm really hoping that everybody listening to this gets a lot of stuff that can really get women into bed quickly, like tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited about this topic myself because I personally have a lot of questions about it. Before we get into the whole idea of same-night seductions, you want to just talk a little bit about yourself, some background of kind of what got you into this?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it's a long story. I've actually been lurking around the community for over 10 years now, and I've, you know, had experience in just about every system out there. And the thing with a lot of it is that they teach things that will that are overall useful, but they don't lead towards that same night experience. And guys going out, they basically want to get laid. Like, that's why we go to bars. We want to hook up. Now, the problem is, like, I moved to Vegas, and all the stuff that was working really well, you know, to get it on dates and all of that stuff, all of a sudden didn't work anymore because I couldn't take them on dates. So this whole same night thing came out of necessity. Like, if I didn't get her on the same night, I didn't get laid at all because the next day she was gone. She was back to Cleveland, Ohio, or whatever. And so I had to come up with something to make things happen quicker. And so that's kind of how it all began. And then about a year or so ago, I had a dinner with a friend, and he was asking me, like, how do you get all these same night seductions? How do you get all these same night lays? And I wasn't even actually sure exactly what I was doing per se, but I just started compiling all the different techniques, tactics, and methods that I was using just to make things go super fast. And it started off as this email that got sent out, and then it got longer and longer, and then it got to about 100 pages, and, you know, I was just only giving it to my circle of friends. But as stuff like that would go, it got leaked. It got leaked to the net, and then I had people, like, wanting to get trained. And so that's kind of how it all began.
One of the things that I always found interesting about the idea of same night lays is like the polarity between the guys who actually get them and the guys who don't. You know, even growing up, as far as my friends who didn't even know about the seduction community, it was always like certain guys, it was almost like their reality very easily for them. And other guys, it just never happened. And I'm not talking about guys that weren't, you know, horrible with girls. I'm talking about guys that always had hot girlfriends and stuff, but just could never score the same night lately. So I just kind of wanted to dig into some of the stuff that makes the major differences. And maybe we can talk about some of the problems that most of the guys run into.
Well, yeah, there's several things that get in the way. And I think the number one thing is the mindset. I think a lot of guys, even guys that have heard this, we don't really believe that women want sex more than we as men do. Like, oh, no, women kind of give that as a gift. I know I grew up in a kind of a religious upbringing, and so I had this whole, like, upbringing thinking that women just, you know, they didn't like sex. They would you know, have sex every now and again just to please their guy, but, like, it wasn't something that they liked. And I think a lot of guys grew up with something along those lines. Or they look at women's behavior externally, and they think, well, oh, she's pretending like she doesn't like sex, so she must really not like sex. But really, if guys could just have in the back of their mind, have it sink in that women want sex more than you do, then that makes things a lot more interesting when you go out, because you can be thinking of, like, given the fact that she wants to hook up more than I do, how do I make this logistically possible? And that's another thing that guys fuck up on. And can I say fuck? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you can say it, sure.
I'm not sure if there's a family program or not. I do have a filthy mouth. But one thing that they'll fuck up on is they will go out and they'll go for a girl. She's fun. They're having a good time. They're having a great conversation. But they aren't leading it down the path towards same night lay, or they're talking to a girl that they couldn't get a same night lay with, even if she wanted to hook up that night. Now, I mean, and this happens all the time. Women go to bars with their girlfriends a lot of times just to protect them from doing what they would do if they went by themselves. And by the way, guys, if you see a girl by herself at a bar, she's about as likely a candidate for a same night lay as possible. So go for her and escalate like crazy. But the biggest thing that guys are doing is they're spending a lot of time on girls that you couldn't have a same night with anyways. You know, maybe they're there with their boyfriend. You know, I don't care how good some guy says he is with women. I've never seen it actually happen. I'm not saying it never has happened, but I've never seen a guy who was able to get a same night lay off of a girl that was there with her boyfriend, even if she was bored of the boyfriend or would cheat on him in other situations. It's just not going to happen in that situation. Other things that are going to happen is, you know, maybe she drove all of her friends. She drove all of her friends. And, you know, I should probably go through the five logistical questions. Should I do that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. This is basically how you can screen to find logistical candidates for a same night lay. And if you ask these questions and you ask them early on and not necessarily in a rapid fire way where it would sound weird, but if you ask these questions early on, you can know within the first couple minutes of the conversation whether you can actually pull a same night lay with this girl or not. Now, these questions are not going to get the girl into bed in and of themselves, but they are going to get you in front of the girls that you actually can get into bed. And then from there, you just build massive sexual tension, and you go from there. So here are the five questions. The first two questions actually are kind of interrelated, and everybody's heard them before, but maybe they haven't really realized exactly why you ask these. So the questions are, who are you here with, and how do you know each other? Bobby, you've heard those before, I'm assuming.
Yep, and I've asked them before.
Exactly, and they're very important questions because you need to know. You need another relationship.
Yep.
You see a girl is by herself. Chances are she's not by herself. She's probably, you know, looking for her friends. You need to know who she's there with. You need to know what the relationship status. If she's there with her boyfriend, or, you know, if she's there with a coworker, that's a whole different logistical situation. If she's there with her boyfriend's sister, that's a different logistical situation. You need to know this kind of stuff, so that's why we ask it. Because there's certain situations that she could be with certain people that's just not going to be possible. The next question is, how did you get here? And this is especially in, like, towns where people drive a lot, not where there's a lot of mass public transit, but mm-hmm. women will tend to, like, they all congregate at one house maybe beforehand and have a couple cocktails, and then they all drive together. Now, what happens when this girl has to drive all of her friends at the end of the night home? You know, and in the car ride, she's there. Maybe she wants to hook up with you, and in the back of her mind, she's like, yeah, I can't wait. And then her friends start talking, no, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. And then, you know, maybe any of the chemicals that are in her system start going downhill, you know, the drugs wear off, that kind of stuff. The music's no longer pumping and all that. And she's like, well, you know, I'm actually getting kind of tired. Nah, I'm just going to go home. If you could have just asked this, you could have figured this out. Like, if she drove herself, though, that is about as good as you're going to get. Or if she, you know, rode with her friends, you can sometimes peel her off the group. And that's a lot better. This is why, like, approaching groups that have guys and girls in it is really good, because a lot of the times when you see that situation, you know, they might be all the coworkers or whatever, there's a better chance that she drove herself, which is what you're looking for. Okay, so the next one is probably one of the more important ones, because this is almost a secret code for asking a woman, do you want to fuck later, as you can get and still like not sound like a sleaze bag. And that question is, what are your plans for later, or what's on the agenda for later, or something along those lines. Now, the best thing that you're going to get here is she's going to ask you what you're doing. And if you hear that, that is a green light. Or if a girl has ever asked you while you were talking to her, what are you doing later, this is what she's asking. She is basically saying, do you want to fuck later? Cool. This is an important question. And a final supplemental question, number 5, is what time do they have to get up in the morning? And the reason you have to ask this is you need to know what, you know, I mean, no girl's going to, or at least no girl of any quality is probably going to lose a job over hooking up with some guy, no matter how charming or awesome he is, or no matter how bad they want to. She wants to wake up, or she has to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be to work. Chances are it's kind of a no-go. So you need to ask that. And if you get all the right response to this, you will know that this is the kind of girl that you can pull that night. She has all the logistics arranged. You just need to escalate and get her to a place where you can actually have sex.
Nice. And I can definitely see how a few kinks in there in terms of the wrong answers can definitely prevent it. I know we've all been there, especially with the friends. It always seems to be like the fat friend holding her keys going, can we go now? And you're just like, fucking A. Like, Jesus, you couldn't have taken 2 separate cars. But
we came together, we'll leave together.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Now, you know, you're obviously good at this, and you've probably been in these situations quite a few times. What other tips as far as, like, similarities between the girls that are willing to do it? Because, I mean, as good as a guy's game is, there's girls out there that it's just not going to be same-night lay material. They're just so programmed against it. I mean, what similarities have you found with the girls that are same? And I say that fully knowing that half the girls that I've thought were not ever going to do it, some guy I know has done it, you know, so it's not, you know, it's not set in stone, but there's definitely girls that are more open to it than others. And what are the qualities or the characteristics of the girls that tend to be more open to it? That,
obviously girls like party girls, that kind of stuff, tend to be more open to it, but you'll often find, even with the party girl type, that a lot of the times, because that's their natural tendency and they know that, they tend to have an entourage of girls that will keep them from doing that, because
yeah,
that's their natural urge and they want to experience that. On the flip side, I've found that a lot of the times religious girls, the ones that are like, oh, you know, you got to wait till marriage, that kind of stuff, oftentimes those are easier to get in the sack the same night than, say, the random party girl. So
yeah,
there's no, like, necessarily, like, morality type of commonalities, but what is common is they have those logistics necessary. That's always common. And they feel that intense sexual tension that you're going to build inside her. And then the final thing is you're in a place where you can actually have sex. If you have those three things, you know, regardless of whether she's a party girl, whether she's a religious girl, you're going to have sex almost every time. Maybe I should talk a little bit about how you create that feeling of intense sexual tension that causes women to really want to act on those urges, because that's really kind of the key thing.
Once
you have something logistically, like, that's what causes women to do it, because they all have that latent urge. They have that urge inside them that says, you know, I want to fuck tonight, and I want to fuck somebody new, especially if you meet them in a bar. She's not there because she wants to fuck her boyfriend. You know, she may not consciously think that she's there to hook up with some new guy, but on a very primal, unconscious level, that's the only reason she's there. I mean, think about this. If she wanted to dance with her friends, you know, she could go buy the Lady Gaga CD on iTunes and listen to it at home, and they could dance around all night. They could go buy a bottle of Patron at the liquor store instead of, you know, here in Vegas, spending $800 on the bottle of Patron. And, you know, they could dance with their friends and they'd have fun. But no, they're in a bar, they're there because they want to have sex. They want to have sex with somebody they already knew. they could just respond to any of the texts that guys are sending them or any of the invitation guys are trying to think of. Nope, they're in a bar. Now, you can't, like, tell a woman this because she'll, you know, constantly, that's not what you think, but on a very primal level, that is exactly why she's there. Keep that in mind as you interact with her. Always have it in the back of your mind, you know, how do I make this possible given the fact that she wants to have sex anyway? So, here is how I create sexual tension. And there's actually two ways to do it. But first, let me explain what sexual tension is. Sexual tension is kind of it's the gap between what you both want, what you both desire in the moment, and what you can actually do in that moment. So, there are two ways that you can create that. You can create that gap, that boundary between what you actually want and what you're actually able to do. One way you do this is by having neutral conversation, but on the inside, you have a very sexually charged state. And it's kind of like that situation that we've probably all experienced, and I'm sure you've experienced it as well, Bobby, where you are in a great mood, and then you hang out with that one friend who's just, he's in a shitty mood, he's in a foul mood, mm-hmm. and then you find yourself, as the night goes on, just getting more and more bitter and more in a bad mood yourself. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, of course, yeah.
I think it's something that everybody has experienced. And the thing is, women are able to pick up on these subtle internal states even better than most guys are able to. And so, when you're having this neutral conversation, you're talking about, you know, puppy dogs and rainbows or, you know, or job, anything neutral, but on the inside, you have this sexually charged state. She's going to experience that, and she's going to feel that gap between, you know, we're talking about puppy dogs and rainbows here, but I can sense this guy is just really turned on. That's going to create a lot of sexual tension. Now, the converse of that is also true. If you say a lot of sexual things or you have a sexual conversation, you have to be able to turn off all of those internal feelings of horniness or sexuality. You just got to turn that internal state neutral. Mm-hmm. And this is where a lot of guys fuck up, and this is where the whole indirect method towards approaching kind of came out of. Guys, when they would go and say sexual things or overtly sexual things, they were also feeling it on the inside, so they came across as very needy, creepy, or fucking weird. So in order to be able to get away with stuff and have a sexual conversation, you have to be able to turn that internal state completely neutral. And then you come across as like, wait, he's talking about these sexual things, but I can tell that he's not really feeling it. This guy is totally comfortable with this and not desperate. He's not needy. He's not weird. And this is how I can get away with, and there's plenty of infield footage of it, of me just saying just really disgusting, perverted things, but getting away with it and having girls love it. The reason is because I'm able to turn that on and off. And so if you really want to turbocharge the sexual tension, you are going to have to be able to vacillate or actually oscillate between the two, where you can talk on, you know, sexual topics, turn the internal off. Then you talk about normal things, turn the sexual internal state back on, and just back and forth and back and forth. And it gets the sexual temperature, her sexual tension will just ramp up incredibly fast.
And you want to give maybe an example of how you bring it into a conversation naturally. I mean, the thing I've noticed with different guys and being in the field and even within myself is that, you know, a lot of guys say they want one-night stands, but then they start talking to a girl as if they want her to be their girlfriend. And it's like a totally different approach of how they're hitting on her. How do you kind of create that sexual frame early on and introduce it sort of naturally in terms of, like, you know, some maybe like a specific example of, you know, do you use routines yourself or do you just do it through flirting and teasing? Or,
you know, I'm glad that you asked this because this is a question that I actually get asked quite a bit. Here is the answer. You can use routines or you can go natural. I tend to be myself. I tend to do a lot more like spontaneous, natural stuff, but routines work just as well, and especially if you're not as, you know, if you're new into this and you're not as good at having just fun, witty conversations anyways, routine type stuff work really well. So, in fact, why don't I give, like, some of the things that you can do? Because I like to set those sexual frames really early in the conversation because the earliest or moments of the interaction are going to kind of set you down certain trajectories. If you have that, you know, kind of fun, playful kind of vibe, you know, but none of the sexual stuff, she's going to think, oh, yeah, this is a fun, playful guy. He's going to be a great source of entertainment tonight. But they're not getting that sexual vibe as well. So one thing that a guy can do or say early in the interaction to change that trajectory so it goes down the path that leads towards sex is, well, one of my favorite openers to use here in Vegas is, why are girls in Las Vegas so fucking wild? And, you know, it's kind of an indirect opener. I'm asking their opinion. But what that really does is it puts them in a frame that, well, we're wild, so we have to behave wild. So if they respond with anything other than, like, we're not, which if they respond we're not, just walk off. They're going to be boring. But she now will have to respond to you, and everything will be in that frame of being wild. And wild leads to sexuality. If you can get a girl behaving wild or naughty or any of those kind of things, those are the kind of things that lead towards an interaction that's going to be sexual and fun, and it's going to end in the same night lay. Let me give another example, and this is one that's kind of been around for a while, but I still use it because it's really, really good, and any guy can do this. Like, guys listening to this right now, go out and try it tonight, because you're going to notice a shift in the girl's demeanor. Every time you say this, I want you to say, you know what, looking at you on face value, you look like a really nice girl, like really clean cut, all that stuff, but I detect a serious naughty side. If you say that, it is going to give her a huge shift in her demeanor, and it's going to change the nature of the interaction. It's all of a sudden going to go down a different path, and not the path towards fun, friendly dude. It's going to be the path towards sex. It's going to be the kind of guy that she wants to hook up with. Or, you know, I mean, sometimes they're not going to respond all that well, but you're going to know this is the kind of girl who's probably not going to have the same night lay with you anyway, so she's helping you out. Mm-hmm. So those are two really great examples of stuff that guys can use tonight.
Yeah, no, I like it, and I like the whole idea of creating the frame early on, because it's that whole idea of frame is so prevalent in all areas of life and who you talk to, and it's like you got to almost unconsciously give the other person permission to, like, let that wild side out. And it's even like that, you know, say you're at work and you're dealing with a customer, and, you know, normally you might be at work and you might have that, like, professional type attitude and everything is real professional, and if the customer gives you, like, the okay of, like, hey, let's he starts cursing a little bit and maybe makes a joke, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, I can be myself around this person, I don't have to, you know. And that's sort of like the whole idea of framing, is that you're sort of, the earlier on in the conversation, you let the girl know, like, hey, it's okay to, like, you know, let out your little bit of your wild side. I'm not going to judge you. I'm actually, you know, I have that same side. Let's just have fun. And I think that's true. And I think, like you said, you got to do it earlier on, because if you sit there having that puppy dog and ice cream conversation, and then, like, an hour into it, all of a sudden you, like, try to get all sexual on the girl, it's going to be such a obvious shift that it's going to kind of weird her out a little bit.
Exactly. And you know what's really awesome about setting these kind of sexual frames really early on? If you can have those puppy dogs and ice cream conversations later down the road, mm-hmm. and she'll still view you as sexual because you have those frames already set. But if you have the puppy dogs and ice cream set beforehand, and then you try to turn it sexual, that's when it's weird. You know, that was actually one of the big problems I had with some of the earlier linear models, is that they always try to, like, you got to go with attraction first and then comfort next. And then you throw the seduction later on. I'm like, you know, when you do that, there's always this shift in, you know, LMR, you know, last minute resistance, is something that was a symptom of that kind of methodology. It was a symptom of going about it all indirect, because you were, you know, you're having this conversation that was, you know, talking about her job and talking about what she wanted to be when she grew up, or, you know, can she cook, that kind of stuff. And then, oh, wait, all of a sudden, hey, look, what do I have here? Oh, cock. And you said, wait, what? It just, yeah, of course she's going to freeze up and get LMR, because she wasn't looking at you in that way. So when you set those sexual frames up from the very beginning, it's like, yeah, of course we're going to fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And it's totally natural, and you don't get that LMR.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember who said it. I think it might have been David D'Angelo, though, where he said that when you start talking to a girl, she's either going to view you as, you know, indifferently, where you don't have a choice either way. She's not interested in you. She might view you as a friend where you're still beat. She can view you as boyfriend material, or she's going to view you in a sexual way, as a sexual guy that she'd want to have sex with. And what he said is that you're always better off going for the guy she wants to have sex with, because you can be the guy she wants to have sex with and be her boyfriend later on, but if you go for the guy that, you know, is going to be her boyfriend from the beginning, you're not going to be the guy she has sex with later on. She's going to have predetermined that you're the, you know, you're the boyfriend type. So he said, you know, it's always better, like you're saying, to go with the sexual guy up front. And even if you're like thinking to yourself, well, I might like this girl, well, later on you can always change it and go and, you know, kind of create the deeper rapport. And if you don't want to have sex with her on the first night, you don't have to, but at least you have the opportunity to, rather than letting her decide where, you know, where you're going to fit in.
Exactly. And really one of the things that holds guys back is, you know, that whole idea that they think that, you know, they can't get a girlfriend if they sleep with her the same night. And you know what? I've had most of my girlfriends that I've had on a long-term basis that have lasted any length of time, almost every one of them I had a same night lay with. Really, if you want to get the girl, you got to get her into bed as quickly as possible, as comfortably as possible, because, you know, from there you can determine the nature of the relationship. You can determine the path of the relationship. You can find out, hey, we actually are sexually compatible as well. And also, we want to hang out with each other more. You don't necessarily have to have it be a one-night stand or, you know, that be the end. But that's kind of the mindset a lot of guys have, is that, you know, if you hook up with her quick, then you are turning yourself off from the relationship. And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, it's true, especially when you're dealing with girls maybe that aren't in your social circle. If it's a girl from your social circle, it's like different. But when you're dealing with girls that you're meeting at a bar, if you don't have sex with them right away and you try to play it out, you don't get to that, like, comfortable level with them. And it usually won't wind up in a relationship, because if you draw it out too long and she has her social scene and the guy she's fucking in her social scene and you have yours, it very rarely will happen. Whereas, like you're saying, if you do have sex with her right away, and now if she's a horny girl and she wants to have sex with you again, you have a lot better chance of seeing her again and actually, you know, being able to develop it into a relationship. Whereas if you held off thinking that was the right thing to do, you actually could wind up shooting yourself in the foot and some other guy is going to be plowing her.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons I, you know, besides the fact that I'm in a touristy town, but one of the other reasons that you should go for a same night lay is basically the fact that, like, for women, especially really attractive women, life is a never-ending buffet of cock for these girls. Like, if you don't hook up with them that night, some guy the next night is going to hook up with her, and, you know, as much as she likes you, she might even like you more, but he got the job done, she's probably going to, you know, end up being her boyfriend or girlfriend, and not yours, even if she likes you more.
So true. And that's like a great mindset to keep in your head. Do you have any other kind of mindsets? I know you talked a little bit earlier about, you know, keeping in mind that the girl wants to have sex as much as you do. Is there anything else, like, mentally a guy can do to kind of prepare himself? You know, somebody who hasn't done it before and he's going out for the first time thinking, like, you know, this is possible, you know. I got some good tips here from Nick, and I want to try this. What in his mind is, like, real important to kind of drill down? Anything that you usually recommend your students?
Yeah, here's another little thought that I've had, and it really is kind of effective. A lot of guys, especially when they're getting into this, they have a lot of approach anxiety. They think that women are of higher value or whatever, or they're just better at relationships, they're better at communicating than they are, because guys, we don't grow up talking and all that. But here's the thing, if you go to any bookstore, you are going to see hundreds, thousands of books on relationships. You're going to see Cosmo magazine that, you know, how to do this with relationships, or how to, you know, please your man, all of this stuff. You know, the fact that they have all this how to please your man kind of stuff, that's pretty interesting. Women, actually, you know, we always give them credit for being better at relationships, but you know what? The real truth is, women are oftentimes really bad at that kind of stuff. They don't know how to, you know, form these kind of relationships. They don't know how to go for what they want as far as, like, their sexual satisfaction and all of that. That's why they read all of these books. That's why there's so many of them available. And, you know, the shitty thing is, a lot of it is giving them bad advice. It's giving them stuff that, you know, isn't really all that effective for them, but the fact that the need is there, the want is there, will let guys know that, guys, if you think it's rough to go and approach, it's hard for girls too. Like, that's why women don't approach guys, is because they're not any good at it. So when you're in that interaction with a girl, keep in mind that, you know, if you, even if you think you suck at the whole thing, chances are you're better at it than she is. That's why there's so much available to her, is because they're never any good at it. So keep that in mind, and you're doing fine. You're doing fine. Just as long as you're approaching, you're doing better than most girls and most guys.
You know, it's funny what you just said, just reminding me of something. I forget who said it, but he said that, you know, he said that girls aren't good at it and girls don't approach. And because of the way society is, most girls won't approach you. And because of that, because they don't have that ability to approach and choose, you know, a girl's actually rooting for you. She wants, you know, these girls want to have sex. So they're like hoping that you can pull it off. And they're going to give you a little bit more slack than you think, because they do want you to pull it off. Because if you don't pull it off, they don't get laid, you know. Like, they want to look past a few, if you say a few things that might not have sounded as cool as you thought they were before you said them. She's going to be willing to look past minor things if she thinks she's going to be back in bed, you know, having some good sex with you. She's not going to hold things against you. And I think, like, you know, like you said, that's something you want to keep in mind, because if you don't do it, if you're not able to seduce her, she might not get laid that night, and she would love to get laid.
Absolutely, she wants to get laid. Like, I like that you put it that way. She is rooting for you to do this right, because so few guys can, and that's what she wants. That's why she's there. Women are looking for the kind of guy that is going to, you know, almost in like that romance novel kind of sense where, and that's probably something I could have brought up a second ago too. If you read a romance novel, they're pretty much all the same, and they're the same kind of guys. They're the kind of guys that, you know, come in, sweep her off her feet, into bed, really quickly. Like, there's never, like, this romance novel about, you know, the guy took her on 10 dates, and then on the 10th date, they held hands. No, it's always, like, something that happened spontaneously, randomly. They randomly met at a bar or something, you know, and it happened quick. That's what women want. That's what they fantasize about. And that's why 54% of all of the books that are sold in North America are romance novels. Because this is what women, like, fantasize about, but guys just don't behave in a way that allows this to happen most of the time.
Yeah, and I wanted to say one other thing, because, you know, the advice you're giving is great, and I know that a lot of guys out there are going to go out and use this, and they're going to see the results. And what I want to warn them, and I actually wrote a post about this a while ago, is that the shit does work, but you better be ready for it. If you're going to go out there and try to have a one-night stand, like, you can't let the girl down, too, you know? Like, if you start building a sexual tension and you get her hot and horny, you better be damn ready to bring her back, and you better not chicken out at the last moment, because you're, you know, it's beyond your comfort zone. And definitely, I just wanted to address that, because I know that I have friends and I've seen guys in field where, like, they have the girl and it's, like, the easiest slam dunk lay, and they start creating obstacles for themselves because they weren't expecting it to happen, and now that it's happening, they're like almost intimidated by it, and something that guys should definitely keep in mind.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up, because I've had students come out with me on boot camp. They had it, everything ready. She's ready to go, and right about when she's ready to go, they fuck it up just because they don't know how to handle that. I'm like, this is why you came to me. This is why you got instruction from me, because you wanted to learn how to do this. And now that it's actually happening, why are you sabotaging this, dude? Like, why are you trying to put hurdles in when, you know, you were ripping down all the hurdles initially? So, yeah, I'm glad you bring that up. It is something that happens actually far more common than it should be.
No, it hits home for me, because I can remember times back in college, and I had, like, an image ingrained in my head of, like, I was coming out of a relationship, and I just wasn't even I wasn't mentally ready, I guess, to start sleeping with other girls, but in college it was just so easy, you know, like, just, I lived in a frat house, and, you know, you throw parties and the girls were drinking, and I'd be out there talking, and this girls, and then, like, the end of the night would roll around, and I'd look like the gay guy, because I'd be, like, doing anything, like, they'd be practically begging me to come back to my room, and I'm just, like, not knowing how to do it, and not really prepared for it, and you know, it took a little mental working to finally get over that. And now that, like, I have like an extra spot that I want to help guys out with that same problem, because it was definitely something for a few months there. It cost me a lot of things that I think back on now, some of those college girls, and I kick myself for being so fucking stupid. But you live and learn.
There's a lot of, like, little subtle things guys do to, like, self-sabotage themselves from getting same-night lays even before they enter the bar. Like, for example, I'll give presentations. Like, I was doing the 21 convention, and I did a presentation at the World Pickup Summit, and I polled the room, like, how many guys in here want to get a same-night lay tonight? Every guy raised their hand. Every one of them. Of course they did. Like, cool. Of those guys that are raising their hands, how many of you guys can reach into your pocket right now and pull out a condom? In fact, do that right now. Reach in, raise your hand back up with a condom. And, like, four. And I'm like, wait, you want to have a same-night lay, and you're not even prepared to have one. You know? I mean, that's kind of the mindset. Like, they don't have it in their head that, you know, it could happen any time. You got to be ready for that. Or guys that will have their room just be a total disaster, so, like, embarrassingly bad that they would be embarrassed to take a girl back there. And yet, at the same time, they're like, I want to get same-night lays. Like,
yeah.
In your room, dude. Like, if you're embarrassed to take her back there, have these things set up. Just those little things they give themselves, like, preemptively to, as an excuse to not do it. And it's kind of sad. It's these weird little self-sabotages that are so common.
Yeah, no, it's what you said about the condoms was so true. It's just, and it's like a mental self-sabotage, and it's almost like you're telling yourself that you don't believe that it's going to happen. And by telling yourself that, you're basically taking yourself out of the game right off the bat. And you know, the reason why they do it, you know, I guess that's up to them and their therapist to figure out what's preventing them from wanting to have success. But you know, it's possible, and it's, you know, it's amazing how easy it actually is, like you're saying, once you learn the techniques and the whole idea of pumping up the sexual tension. I thought that was so true, and so it's not talked about nearly enough in the community, the idea of really building up sexual tension.
No, it really isn't. Like, a lot of talk gets put on, like, you know, DHBs, NEGs, that kind of stuff. I'm going to say right now, I don't use any of that. I don't really use any of the standard attraction material. I don't think it's necessary, typically, really. I mean, shit. I mean, think about it this way. If a girl, like, if you were the last man on Earth, you know, a girl might say something like, I wouldn't sleep with you if you were the last man on Earth. You know what? Yes, you would. In fact,
yeah,
everyone would, even if he's a fat, disgusting blob. Even if she wasn't attracted to him in the least bit, she would fuck that guy if he was the last man on Earth. Women will fuck guys that they're not even attracted to. Not a big deal, as long as they feel those urges of sexual tension and all that. Sometimes, I mean, shit, anybody who's seen me knows that I am not a good-looking man at all, even though for some weird reason I think I am. I am really not. Women will have sex with me even when they're not attracted, because they feel those stirrings inside them. They just can't help themselves, and it feels safe and comfortable.
Yeah, I've been in enough situations now where, like, I had a different points in my life where I just had tons of female friends, you know, within my social circles. And having those female friends and talking to those female friends is like genuine friends, not like, you know, we talk about the same way I would talk to my buddies with them. And you talk to them, and they would, you know, let's say it's girls you work with, and there'd be some other guy that you worked with, and the girls would be like, oh, that guy's such a creep, he's weird, he's what? And then, like, a month later, she'd fuck the guy, and you'd be like, you talk so much shit about it, but you know what? That guy got her in the mood, and he got her sexually amped up, and he fucked her, like, and that's, like, something, too, that you said is, it's not black and white, and I think that's something that guys might struggle with. It's like, guys, it's not like the girl looks at you and she's like, yeah, I'd fuck him, or yeah, I won't. It's, you know, let's see if he's if he can pull it off. And I definitely think it's easier than they think to pull off if they get the right training.
Yeah, it's funny because it's, you know, most guys can't pull it off, or they have a hard time pulling it off. And my contention is that all of this is actually really simple. It's really easy. Like, I go out and when I get my same night lays, it's just like, yeah, of course, that's what happens. It's really easy, and, like, it's no big deal. But a lot of guys, they think that it has to be this big, elaborate process. They have to do all these big things. And really, when you get good at it, when you start seeing the patterns, it's simple. It is so easy. Like, I wish I could, like, describe how easy it is. But guys are oftentimes making it more complex than it has to be. And I think a lot of that has to do with just kind of the way that they're learning game in the first place. A lot of people make game out to be a lot more complex than it actually is. For whatever reason, to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a whole other topic, but I definitely know what you're talking about as far as the I think that a lot of the stuff that is being taught, you know, it has its place in the learning process, but I definitely think it in the long run, it'll, if you stick rigidly to it, it'll hinder you more than it helps you. But, you know, I know you got your new program coming out any day now. You want to just talk a little bit about what you're going to be releasing? I know you got some cool stuff on the way.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We have actually three things that are going to be dropping in the next couple days, or probably when you're listening to this interview right now. What I have coming is I've got the Secrets of Same Night Lays audio course, which was kind of the course that started it all. It's kind of the... In underground circles, it's been considered like the Bible of same night lays. It's pretty much the definitive guide on how to get girls the same night you meet them. That's going to be, it's a full audio course. It's got an ebook. It's got a phone consultation. It's also got my little tool called the Adonis Black Book, even though I've kind of dropped the Adonis name. But it's still a classic little thing that you fit in your back pocket so you can figure out exactly where you're messing up, because there's only a few elements that you need to get same night lays. Just fill that out and, wow, notice your results. This is where I'm fucking up. Okay, easy. Let's fix that. So that's something that comes with that. Now, the granddaddy of what we're doing is we are doing the infield training, because a lot of guys, you're going to read it and you'll understand on a conscious level, but it's not until you actually start doing it and doing it right. And that's where instruction, like live infield instruction, is so important. And so far, every guy that has gone on a boot camp with me, done a program here in Las Vegas, has pulled the same night lay on the boot camp. And I want to keep that number up. So we're going to be offering that. And actually, the way that I do my boot camps, and I don't know if I should go into all this, but you'll see it on my site, but every time a guy gets a boot camp, I refund, or gets a same night lay on the boot camp, I refund $200 back of the boot camp fee just as my reward. We're like the Discover Card of boot camps. I want to pay you back for making that happen and making me look good as well. But also, I mean, shit, that's what you paid for. You want to get laid? I'm showing you how to do it. I want to incentivize that. And then finally, another thing that we're going to be doing is the same night, every night program. And that's just a more continual coaching program that you don't necessarily have to be in Las Vegas for, that you can do with us over the phone, online. We're going to be giving out lots of infield video on that, lots of audio, just telling you step by step how to become the guy that can walk into any bar and take women home that night. And so you can find all this. You were going to set up a site, so I'll let you tell the link, because I want, well, I guess I'll let you announce what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, I don't usually do this, but, you know, I've heard a lot of good stuff about you from some guys that I trust their opinion greatly, and this is also something that the topic of same night lays isn't something that I covered before, so I kind of wanted to do something special for this. So I set up a special link, greatseducer.com/same night lays, and I've put together a bunch of bonuses for anybody who takes up Nick on his offer of either the CD program or the infield training. And you know, I thought that this is definitely quality stuff, so I wanted to kind of incentivize people for testing his stuff out. So they can go to greatseducer.com/same night lays. And I will have an entire list of all the bonuses that I'm going to be offering for anybody, like I said, who tries out your program.
That sounds awesome, guys. And I'm also, since you set this up, I'm going to throw in some extra infield footage that only listeners of this show are going to be able to go to that link, are going to be able to have access to. So, guys, that's my little bonus as well.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. And this was a fun call, man. It's been a while since I had like an in-depth conversation about the whole topic of one-night stands and stuff. So it was cool. It was cool to talk about it, and it was great getting you on the phone. We're definitely gonna have to do this again sometime.
Well, thank you for having me.